Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Hot 102.7, and it is so good to be with you this morning. I hope that you're all well. We seem to be racing through this year because next week is already Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. Afterwards, I'm also going to look at the Transfiguration today, but first I want to look at why Lent, then I want to look at why Ash Wednesday, and then I'll look at the Transfiguration, because all of it is actually about change. It's about being transfigured. When we look at Lent, I'm going to share some thoughts from our previous bishop in the Anglican Diocese of Johannesburg, just for interest. He says that Lent is first mentioned in the Council of Nicaea in 325 CE. It was regularized throughout the Church by Pope Gregory I in 590 to 604 CE, but its origins are much earlier. They go right back to 130 to 202 CE, and it was Irenaeus, one of the early Church Fathers, who referred to dispute about the number of days for the pre-Easter fast. In his letter, he says that such variation in observance did not originate in our own day, but very much earlier in the time of our forefathers. So if that's true, it would see that some kind of Lenten practice has been around since the very beginning of the Church. Early records suggest that the Lenten fast was required for new converts preparing for baptism at Easter. Much like Jesus, they had to spend 40 days and nights in a desert in preparation. Jesus did that for his own public ministry. These new converts had to follow the similar process of reflecting on their new vocation as Christians and how it would be expressed in the way they lived. It quickly spread throughout the Church, became a liturgical season time for all Christians, and we need to interrupt our daily lives, the activities of daily lives, and make time and space to reflect on the question, which is perhaps at the heart of our faith. What does it mean for me to be a disciple of Jesus, and how do I visibly and intentionally live out that vocation? There is an image that Tom Wright shares about Lent, which is a metaphor of a house that grows dusty and disorganized through lack of attention. And he says, Lent is the season set aside for the purpose of cleaning this house. And we can take that one step further and say it's not just about cleaning the house, but once it's clean, how are we better able to do things so it doesn't become dirty again? And how should we change things? So that's the origins of Lent. So it seems to have been around right from the beginning of the early Church, and there's always been some sort of Lenten practice, and sometimes it was for the new converts, so that they sort of imitated what Jesus did, where he went through 40 days of fasting, and then they are baptized on Easter morn. But it is also for us to get our house in order, to clean house, to get our house in order, and to see what we need to change, and to spend time thinking about what it means for us to be a disciple and how visibly and intentionally are we living that out. Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent. It occurs 46 days before Easter, and it falls on different dates each year, because it is dependent on the date of Easter. And some believe that the origins of Ash Wednesday go back to when people were excommunicated from the Church. I know that still happens in some denominations now that people are excommunicated, but they were excommunicated for various offenses. After a time of penitence, wearing sackcloth, ashes, praying, and fasting, they were then re-brought back into that Church. They were reinstated at the Easter Vigil. By the 5th century, a public display of fasting and penitence had become associated with the community preparing for Easter. Now, that's my own understanding of the period, that we need to prepare for Easter to receive Christ anew on Easter morn as we celebrate him overcoming all death and all sin on the resurrection day. So we celebrate that on Easter Sunday. On Ash Wednesday, we do place ashes on everyone's head, my own included, and we say, turn away from sin and believe the good news. And that is the start of Lent. It's a time for us to put anything behind us that's come between us and God, anything we may have thought, said, or done, or not done, and we release it all to God so we can move more fully in God. I often think of those winter fires at this time, how the fire devastates everything, and you wonder how anything can survive it. And then the rains come and the grass sprouts and the leaves come out, and what we see from herbivores is that that grass is sweeter than any other grass. And so for me, that's what Lent is about. You give it all to God, you allow God to take it, you repent, you turn away from it, and it is about new growth, which is better than that which was before. So we need to confess, turn away from sin, move more fully into God as we prepare ourselves for Easter morn, and as I said, celebrating Jesus overcoming all sin and death and rising from the dead, so that we could have a fullness of life here, but also life in the hereafter. The reading for Ash Wednesday is in Matthew 6, and what we're going to hear in a minute is that there are three things that we need to look at. We need to look at giving to those in need. We need to look at prayer and fasting and not publicizing what we're doing. But first on the Mighty Heart 1027, when I survey the wondrous cross.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.
When I survey the wondrous cross on the Mighty Heart 1027, good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it is wonderful to be with you. This morning, I began by sharing some of the history of Lent, and I spoke about Ash Wednesday. When we look at the reading set for Ash Wednesday, it's Matthew 6, and there are those three spiritual disciplines that we can practice during Lent. We can practice giving to the needy, prayer, and then, of course, fasting. And I want to look at what that fasting could mean for us. So we're told in Matthew 6 that we need to be careful not to practice any of this in front of others. If you do, you have no reward from the Father in heaven. So that's why I said earlier we need to keep it secret. When we give to the needy, we mustn't announce it as the hypocrites do. We must do it quietly so that my left hand doesn't know what my right hand is doing. We need to give in secret because your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When we pray, we mustn't be like hypocrites, for they love to stand on street corners and synagogues and pray and be seen by others. Truly, we're told that they've received their reward in full. When we pray, we must go to our room, close the door, pray to God who is unseen, and God who sees what is done in secret will reward us. When we pray, we must also not keep babbling like pagans, because they think that by their many words they will be heard. No, our Father knows what we are asking for before we even ask. And then we are told that we should pray the prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we have already forgiven those who sin against us. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we are told, so that is obviously part of the Lord's Prayer that we pray. Then we are told in Matthew 6, For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And we know that. That is the spiritual principle I've spoken about before. We have to forgive others, release them from our judgment. If we don't forgive them, God will not forgive us. And then lastly, in Matthew 6, we're told about fasting, that when we fast, we mustn't look somber. People shouldn't know that we're fasting. We shouldn't put oil on our head. We should put oil on our heads and wash our faces so that we look normal. And it's not obvious to others that we're fasting, but God, who knows and sees what is unseen, will reward us. And lastly, we're told, don't store up treasures for ourselves on earth, where moths and vermin will destroy it, but we must rather store up treasures for ourselves with God. So as we unpack this, I want us to keep that metaphor in mind about cleaning house. I'm not sure how many of you have watched that program, How Clean Is My House? And, you know, they go to the house of hoarders, and we see what's going on there. Some people hoard things, some people hoard animals, but they clean them. And I know it always makes me go and start cleaning my house. From a spiritual perspective, what are we carrying? Jesus died to set us free. Are we carrying regrets, unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness? Are we engaged in gossip, slander? Maybe we've hurt other people. What have we done that God is asking us not to do anymore? So this is a time of reflection and starting afresh with God. And we need to realize that. So we need to spend that time in prayer. We need to spend that time just reflecting on our lives and allowing God to reveal to us that which needs to change. We also then need to fast. And fasting isn't only about food. There was a wonderful thing written by Arthur Ward where he suggested that we should fast from judging others, rather feast on Christ within them, fast from emphasis on differences, fast from thoughts of illness, fast from words that pollute, fast from discontent, fast from anger, fast from pessimism, fast from complaining and negatives, fast from unrelenting pressure, fast from hostility and bitterness and self-concern, fast from personal anxiety, discouragement, lethargy, fast from suspicion, thoughts that weaken, fast from shadows and sorrow and idle gossip, fast from the problems that overwhelm, fast from instant gratification, fast from worry, trust in God. And finally, we need to fast from sin and feast on the abundance of God's mercy. So when we look at this Lenten litany, if you like, of fasting. There was also a feasting, which I won't go through today, but fasting from judging others, emphasis on difference, thoughts of illness, all these words that pollute discontent, anger. That's what I mean when I say we need to go to God in prayer and say, God, reveal to us that which needs to change within us. What is it that we need to fast from? And of course, this type of fasting will lead us to opening our hearts and to conversion. And the conversion is turning from those things that do not give life and turning fully to God who gives us life in abundance. As we look at the transfiguration next, let's keep this in mind. Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, Open our eyes.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Open our eyes, Lord, on the mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it is so good to be with you. If you've just joined me, welcome. We've looked at Lent. We've looked at Ash Wednesday and the call on us to fast, pray, and give to those in need without anyone knowing we're doing it. I've looked at the conversion that can occur when we fast from more than just food. And now we're going to look at the transfiguration, which we find in Luke chapter 9. And we're told that about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, James, and John with him. He goes up a mountain. As he's praying, the appearance of his face changes. His clothes become as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appear in glorious splendor talking with him. They speak about his departure, so they're speaking about what's coming, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions are very sleepy. When they become fully awake, they see this glory, and they see the two men standing with him. And as they're leaving, Peter says, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." We're told he didn't know what he was saying. And while he's speaking, this cloud appears and covers them. The disciples are afraid. A voice from the cloud says, "This is my son, whom I've chosen. Listen to him." When the voice is spoken, they find Jesus alone, and the disciples keep this information for themselves, and they don't tell anyone what they've seen. Now, I've shared some of my thoughts on this before today, but I want to begin by pointing out something that I hadn't noticed. That all the key events in Jesus' life take place in the context of prayer. His baptism, we see in chapter 3, the calling of the 12, chapter 6, Peter's confession, chapter 9, the transfiguration, chapter 9. So if prayer is a central act of Jesus, then surely if we want to understand Jesus, we need to engage in prayer. We have to enter into prayer and participate in prayer. It's been said that the person who begins to pray actually begins to see. Now that's why I want to start this season with the story of the transfiguration, because for me, it is about the disciples beginning to see. And we've just looked at how when we go into Lent, we have to pray, fast, and give to the needy. But prayer is the one thing that I think we need to stick to. So when we go through this reading, Jesus takes three of them, Peter, James, and John. Why these three? Probably because they were instrumental in starting the early church and keeping the faith alive. But I think what we need to note is that not all the disciples were there. Each of us has our own journey with God. We're not to look to others and say it's not fair because they experienced God in this way or heard God in this way. We can't be envious of others. God has a journey with all of us, and we will all have our own epiphany when the time is right. It's not the same for all. Secondly, they have to climb a mountain. I know about climbing mountains. It's not always easy, but we have to be willing to put in the effort and to follow. If Jesus had called them and they had said no, they would have missed out on this. So we have to be willing to put in the effort, to put in the work, and to follow Jesus, even if we don't know what's going on or we're going to miss out. As Jesus is praying, we're told his face changes. If we go back to Moses, when he came down the mountain, his face was so bright people couldn't look at him. And so we read in Exodus this radiant face of Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. He was not aware his face was radiant because he had spoken with God. And then eventually we're told that he puts a veil on his face when he speaks to people. When we meet with God in prayer, we will also be transfigured and the light of God will shine from within us. Then we are told about Moses and Elijah. Now Moses is obviously the law, Elijah is the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. He told us he hadn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law, and we know he's the fulfillment of all the prophecies. These two were preparing Jesus for what is to come. They're speaking about what's going to happen when Jesus is crucified. So they are preparing him. The apostles, we told, are sleepy, and that's not uncommon when we're moving in a spiritual space, but they wake up to see this glory around them, and of course, and they want to stay in that space. So they can't do that. We know that we have to come down eventually from these spiritual experiences and use them to grow the faith of others and to share God's love with others. But while he's speaking, we're told this cloud appears and covers them and they are afraid. Why would they be afraid? Well, first of all, if you're on a mountain and a cloud covers you and you can't see, that is scary. Anyone who's been climbing mountains and knows when the cloud comes down, especially in places like the Drakensberg, you just have to sit still because you can't see the edge of the mountain. But perhaps afraid could also be interpreted as in awe. They were in awe of what they were seeing. And then this voice says, "This is my son whom I've chosen, listen to him." And we're told that after that, they had to come down and they didn't tell anyone. I believe that they were given this experience because of what was to come. They needed to have that to build their faith enough to survive the crucifixion up until the time of the resurrection. We know that they were terrified. We know they scattered. We know that they met together, that they were in a room locked together for fear of what would happen. But I think that these sort of experiences are given to us to empower us, to grow our faith, to strengthen us so that we can stand firm in times of trial. But we can also then, in those times of trial, minister to others and witness to God. So they came down that mountain and they carried on, just as you and I, when we are given these wonderful experiences of God, need to come down and still live in this world, even though we may not belong to this world. So as we look at all these readings today, I think the things that have been stressed is the need for us on Ash Wednesday to leave everything behind and to fast from a whole lot of things that may be harmful to us and allow God to work in them, allow God to reveal them to us. But perhaps we need to give to those who are in need. But perhaps the most important thing of all for me is that we need to pray. We need to pray without ceasing. So if we do nothing else this Lent, let us at least increase our prayer time and spend time listening to God. Thank you so much for listening to me. May God bless you and those you love and pray for. To wrap up this morning on the Mighty Hot 1027, let your living water flow over my soul and glorify thy name. God bless.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.